Three.
And there's one more, Kathy Galbraith.
Is there anybody else here who wishes to speak in support of the appellant who didn't sign up? Okay, I guess you're the one. Okay, well, come on up. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kathy, just give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
I'm before you, honey.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm Kathy Galbraith, and I'm the director of the Bosco Milligan Foundation. We own and operate the Architectural Heritage Center at 701 Southeast Grand Avenue. Our board of directors considered this proposal a few months back, and I was directed to address a couple of particular issues. One is the impact of the garage on the Northwest Historic District. You know, there will always be an endless demand for parking, and there's no evidence that this garage will begin to satisfy the demand for parking. This location is easy walking distance from the streetcar line, and we ask the question why this use is appropriate given the location of the line, and how is this project not going to diminish the integrity of the neighborhood? There are ramifications for this issue, which is why I'm here for Historic District citywide. This is a precedent-setting application. The second issue is the historic significance of the Julia Hoffman House that will be demolished if this application is approved, and its history was uncovered after the start of the development proposal process. Historic buildings don't always look like we think they should, but in this particular case, Julia Hoffman is considered one of the 100 most influential people in Oregon. She founded the Oregon School of Art and Craft, and she actually started teaching her classes in this house. Her son, Lee Holly Hoffman, started his family and began Hoffman Construction while he lived in this house. And finally, in an era of diminishing historic resources and diminishing petroleum resources, Portland dispensed considerable sums of federal and local money, investing in alternative forms of transportation. Construction of a new parking garage in the heart of the Alphabet Historic District does need to be considered in this light, especially given the numerous public policies that you apply day in and day out that encourage transportation alternatives to the private automobile. And this application certainly does not support those. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Fish has a question for Kathy.
Yeah, I just was curious. Maybe you could clear up some confusion I have on this issue. What evidence do we have that Julia Hoffman actually lived in that house?
All of the research on it. When the National Register district nomination was done, properties, if they have art alterations to them, are ranked lower than houses or buildings that have few or no alterations. And so this house was really not considered very seriously because it had been altered over time. After that initial classification, all of the research about the significance of Julia Hoffman and who she was has come to light. And so you can say, is Julia Hoffman an important Oregon historic figure? Well, yes, she is. This is the house that is associated with her. It's had some degree of alteration over time. Should we write off her history because her house doesn't look like we think it should?
And no, maybe I didn't state it clearly. I just want to know what evidence we have that she actually lived in the house.
Property research records and city directories, which document who actually lives in a house rather than who owns it. The city directories over time document who actually lived in a house and their adult children.
Give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
My name's Paul. I don't usually give out my name because I have so many names, they're almost like toilet paper down the winds of time. I'm old. I've lived in Oregon off and on for 20 years when I wasn't in the service or protecting my country overseas or working on things. My issue is this community is based around developmental properties that proceed from the 1817 era or before, maybe 1805. And a lot of these are historic landmarks, like she said, the Hoffmans. I don't know if you're familiar with the Hoffmans or the Fugees or any of the families that lived here in the 40s and 50s, which were mostly Italian on the southeast side and some on the northwest side. But the issue is not the ethnicity of the house or the person that lived in it. The big issue is why are we tearing down permanent houses, people's houses, to build substandard structures that don't bring in much payola. Let's be straight about it. Eco, stanico, venico. It doesn't bring in anything. It doesn't bring in a dime. We could build a big parking lot at Fujitsu for the parking employees so they don't have to all scramble in there. They'd love it. They'd probably pay a dollar to do it. Or formerly Fujitsu, which is now Microchip, or any of the other Intel lots or other places to build parking lots where people need them. Why in a residential neighborhood? You know? I'm from the Midwest. My 97-year-old grandma told me once that that was an equitable deal. That was not equitable. In German, it was Daschen wien ein Sohn von. I don't know. It means nonsense to me. I'm a linguist, but you don't just build stuff everywhere for no reason.
Thank you. Okay, so now we will hear from the applicant. Is it 10 or 15 minutes? Catherine?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. So far. Oh, wow.
31?
Yeah. That's what we've been doing.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Am I
ready to go? Give us your name, and you have 15 minutes.
Okay, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Richard Singer, 2311 Northwest Irving, Portland, 97210. There's been a lot of speculation about my motives for sticking with this project. And quite frankly, they shouldn't question my motives. They should really question my sanity. I just want you to know I have continued on with this project for one reason and for one reason only. Parking is desperately needed for the entire Northwest community. And over time, the parking issue has only become more severe. We also need to sustain the viability and the health and vitality of our small businesses in the area. This is a neighborhood that I grew up in. I lived around 23rd. I've been around 23rd all of my life. And this area deserves to be not only competitive, but to be beautifully designed with the buildings that replicate the historic and the unique qualities of architecture that I have tried to do for my entire career. It also needs to operate safely, and we need to maximize safety features for everyone. A year and a half ago, City Council looked at our first design for a garage project to address the approximately 3,000 parking space deficit in the Alphabet District. That was a good design, and it came from years of outreach, compromise, discussions with all neighbors, but you pushed us to do better. You asked us to take another look at it to see if we could make it smaller and to do everything possible we could for pedestrian safety. We heard you. And the council supported mediation between NWDA representatives and us. And that was much more successful than I would have ever imagined. We all worked in good faith to identify the specific ways to come up and reach the city council goals. We reported our progress to council. Michael Harrison was here, Tim Ramos. I even withdrew my proposal at NWDA's insistence. Unfortunately, then NWDA's board terminated mediation before we were done. But the benefits of the work that we accomplished through mediation are evident on the changes that you're going to see. They're substantial. In the end, your direction made this a better project. Before I turn it over to Jeff and to Tim, I'd like to say a couple things. First of all, the observations on vacancy on those lots are erroneous. City Center parking has had the lots under management for years, and they can speak to this. The new lot, which we say are empty, is substantially substantially different than that. Also, I did not want to demolish that house. I have said to everybody that anybody can take that house for free. At one time, we did have a place to move it. It's expensive to move. It's available for anybody. And we will add $30,000 additional to giving that house away to have it moved. Demolition is the last thing that we want. Also, I want to talk to you about two other quick things. One is that I've gone around to every single neighbor. When Carmela Ettinger comes up here and shows you a brick wall, she forgets to tell you about the numerous times that Jeff Stewart and I have met with her, with their landscape architect. I have gone to every single neighbor to say to them, I want to mitigate the impact. What would you like me to do? We will put mature plantings. We will do everything in our power to mitigate this. Trellises, so on and so forth. But the last thing I'd like to say is the misimpression of the historic Hoffman House. This has twice been rejected by SHPO. Julia Hoffman never lived there. I'm surprised that the Bosco Milligan Foundation would find that. We've had the research done extensively because we wanted to know as well. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Tim Ramos and Jeff Stewart, and thank you very much.
Thank you. For your record, Tim Ramos, on behalf of the applicant. On the two key issues that were of concern to the council in this project previously, safety and size, you see in this case a substantially revised design. And Jeff Stewart, the project architect, will detail how the changes in design rooted in the mediation process address the design criteria. My job is to spend a minute addressing the non-design issues and indicating that the record extensively addresses these non-design issues. In order to save time, I provided in the record a few days ago and given you copies today, a chart which details all the issues and the responses, as well as a memorandum that does the same thing. This project passed muster with the planning staff, with PDOT, with the Landmarks Commission, and also with the NWDA Transportation Committee. And what we have done is to compile the analysis of each of those groups with respect to the issues that were raised. And what you will see in the matrix is that item by item, each one of those issues has been detailed and addressed very, very carefully. The memo, I won't go through it in detail, but to give you some examples and highlights from it, as Dick mentions, the status of the house at 2323 Irving, Julia Hoffman never lived there, and the record shows that. There is a study from Heritage Consultants in the record that analyzes the history and also includes a review of the Polk directory that you heard mentioned, demonstrates that she never lived there. Also, Hoffman Construction was not begun there based upon the study that's been done. So that is a fallacious claim which is rebutted in the record. Also, on the issue of our parking garages, a magnet, the evidence in the record is that the incidence of crime were mapped for this area and then compared to the locations of parking structures. And that analysis shows no correlation at all between the incidence of crime and the presence of a parking structure. So there's simply no empirical evidence to support that claim. Next, the idea that you've heard from some people that the zoning that you adopted in 2003 isn't really applicable yet. It turns out the zoning code is in force, is effective, has been upheld by LUBA and the courts. This is a conclusion agreed to by your planning department as well as your city attorney. The additional claim that there should be a multimodal traffic analysis. This sort of analysis is not required by the criteria, but the applicant undertook it anyway. And that analysis confirmed PDOT's conclusion that the design does an excellent job of addressing safety. There's also a question of whether there's a burden to show need. You've heard that argued here. In 2003, the council adopted findings saying what we all know, and that is that there is a critical shortage of spaces in the area and that there's a need for additional off-street spaces. The planning department placed that need at 3,000 spaces, although that is not an issue in the hearing today. Finally, is there a need for a new parking program? The record establishes that there is already a parking program for Northwest, one that is far more comprehensive than what you've heard described today, a plan that was the product of a three-year-long city-led process conducted by the Citizens Advisory Group. And that plan includes the provision of additional off-street spaces as are being provided here today. These and other issues have been addressed in detail, but because this is primarily a design hearing, I'll stop now and we can focus on the real issues in the case, which are design. Jeff?
Commissioners, can I first ask what you're seeing on your screen? Do you see?
We see nothing.
Blue sky.
Blue.
Presentations, a problem with compatibility.
Yeah,
with
I've got it on the screen up here, and not only have we reduced the structure, we've actually shrunk wrapped it.
We could move and watch it from behind.
Okay, just keep in mind that it's probably half as wide as it needs to be. Thank you very much. I'm going to run quickly through the design. I'm down to 6 minutes here. As you all know, we were in a mediation process with the neighborhood, and several design changes were agreed to by the Singer Properties during that mediation and subsequent neighborhood outreach meetings. First and foremost, we reduced the mass of the building by eliminating the third floor parking deck. As Tim mentioned, this brings the building down an additional 9 feet. This is also seen in our boards to the left right here. By doing that, we've subtracted the parking stalls by 16, down from 103 to 87. This is a 20% reduction in parking. We've also set the western facade back. This is next to the residential neighbor, back 2 feet. This is also to enhance visibility between automobiles and pedestrians. There are other pedestrian safety measures that we will detail further on here. I also want to clearly show to you that it's unfortunate that we're having these technical problems here. It worked earlier. To show to you that we have commercial in this entire area all the way up to 24th. These are existing uses in that sense. Our site right here is right behind Papa Haydn's. It's where the planning and the guidelines have told us to put parking in these six sites that were selected through the planning process. You're all familiar with Music Millennium. This shows a common condition between residential and commercial structures. You'll see slides later on, I think, of other parking garages. Tim Herron showed these earlier. It's these garages that historically have been in the neighborhood that we're pulling brick and material details, cast stone, you name it. It's all part of our proposal. When you were here before, you saw the proposal on the top with the third floor. We have scaled that building back down to 2 stories. This is much in keeping with the neighborhood. It's on a level with the neighboring eave line, so we are not overwhelming the building as purported. We are actually at the same height with the eave. So let's go into the design itself. The building facade has been broken down into two distinct structures. This is to reflect the change from commercial to residential zones. Also with this south facade, we continue to break the patterning down so that the portion on the right, which is a commercial portion, is more solid with storefront windows. The portion on the left is much more rendered much more like a residential design. It's got brick lattice, trellises, and brick that recalls residential front porches. I don't know what you're getting from this. I think probably if I can, yeah.
Because this is unfair to show it like this.
Yeah. I think if I can direct you to these boards most in this situation, yeah. Unfortunately, the audience won't be able to see this. I'm sorry that there are the technical difficulties again. But we have 100-foot frontage. We talk about breaking that 100-foot frontage down into two parking pieces, the 250-foot frontages. This is the overall kind of, scale that you see throughout the neighborhood. I also want to direct you to, most importantly, the interior here and really try to talk about the pedestrian way in this area. We've got a facade that's over 80% transparent. You can see into the garage, and from the garage you can see out. When you come out of that garage, I just want to point out that you've got windows across that entire front in that area, so that as pedestrians cross that way, you're seeing a peripheral vision that is completely uncommon in this in the downtown core. We've also put textured paving. We have an automated arm in this area to stop traffic coming down. And to reinforce that, we also have speed bumps in that area. On the exterior of the building, you'll see that we have bollards. Those will have lights on them that will also flash as cars come down to alert passerbys. We also have put audible and visual signals on the interior of the garage so that we can adhere with those safety designs as well. Another thing that we did in this garage as well is place all the bicycle parking up towards the front, so that that's one of the things that you do see when you look at this garage from the interior. So I feel like we have strongly met the guidelines that are before you today and the criteria that you do need to deliberate on in this situation. We also have with us Beth Wimple from Kittleson and Associates that would be happy to answer any questions of you regarding the traffic study that was done.
Can you point out how we made it smaller?
Yes. And what I do want to leave you with as well is that this garage is in scale with the district. It's 7 feet below the maximum allowed height on the residential side. We are 21 feet below on the commercial side, down from 45 feet. So we have taken every measure to keep this building in scale. Thank you. I apologize that we have not been able to show you what I consider to be fundamentally good drawings. But I think those have been made.
Yeah, we had those in the staff report.
Thank you.
Questions for the applicant?
So I do. I'm just...
Commissioner Fish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we've had a fair amount of testimony about landscaping mitigation, particularly, I guess, to the west and to the north. And in the renderings that I've seen, there are some vines and some other things. But, I mean, I imagine that there would be folks in the area who would be pushing for trees, bushes, irrigation systems, other kinds of mitigation measures that go beyond this. Would you speak to that, please?
We've offered all of those. To the extent that we can control the vines, for example, as you see them on the front over here, we can control those from the building itself.
Hold the microphone, Richard. Hold the microphone. Closer.
Okay, so we can control what you see right there. But for the surrounding neighbors, we've gone to them. In the case of Carmel Ettinger, we met with her landscape architect. We have said to every single one, we will put a sprinkling system in, we will put mature trees in, we will put trellises in, we will do whatever you feel is necessary to create a soft and an amenity for yourself. And people, that is, whether they support me or not, that has been an offer. As a matter of fact, recently to the north is Sue Lee of the Oriental Motif Shop, and unfortunately she's ill, but we just reiterated that even with the surface parking lot, through our attorney, trying to say that we are happy at this point to go in and mitigate whatever situation that she feels.
So if I could ask your counsel a question. Sure. Now, Mr. Singer has made this commitment, but does it have the force of law? Is it part of any application before us, or is it simply his commitment at this proceeding, and how binding would that be?
Right. These comments. First of all, we would be quite open to the drafting of a condition that would make it clear that kind of offer runs with the land. And given that your counsel has suggested that any decision that you might make that's favorable to the application would be tentative, there would be the opportunity to draft that and bring it back to you. Second, under Oregon law, a case called Franklin versus Lake Oswego, if we make the offer and you make it a basis of your decision, it becomes binding on the applicant. So even without the condition, it would be my view that it's binding. Thank you.
Mr. Leonard?
So
you heard the testimony earlier with respect to the house, and Commissioner Fish asked the testifier if there was some evidence that Julia Hoffman lived in the house, and two things were said, because I wrote them down, that there were property tax records that indicated that in a city directory. So have you researched those?
Yes, Commissioner. In your record currently are actual copies of the Polk directory that you referred to. An analysis of that directory done by Heritage Consulting Group demonstrates that Julia Hoffman did not live there. There's also a history of Lee Holly Hoffman, which is included in the record, which demonstrates that he did not start Hoffman Construction in that house.
Could I just add to that, Tim? There is, of course, the Hoffman family owned the house.
Well, I was just going to ask. There has to be a basis for that being said.
She acquired the house from her lawyer.
During a bank failure.
Julia.
In 1907.
During a bank failure, right. But did not live in it.
She did own it. It was a rental, though. She lived where Papa Hayden's is right now. And her, then she moved into 705 Davis after she built that.
I see. And then the second question is, in some of the meetings that I have had that I disclosed at the beginning of this, it was indicated to me that there is no setback of the garage from the property line. When Tim Heron was making his staff presentation, he indicated there was a 2-foot setback. So what is the case?
I think the difference there is that the regulations do not require a setback, but the design has been modified on the western side to create a setback. And Jeff, you want to speak to that?
Yeah. This came out of our meetings with the neighborhood. We volunteered to – this was also done in public forums as well. We agreed to set the western facade back in deference to the neighboring residents. And that also set up a situation where it would offer us more of a buffer zone when cars came out of the garage into the public right-of-way. So rather than just being a 12-foot right-of-way now, it's 14 feet. We've got landscaping around that area that helps keep autos and pedestrians apart from each other until they come into view.
So I want to be really, I want to be real clear on the west.
On the west side, there is no setback. It's on the property line, and that's what the code allows.
Well, and the reason for that.
But I thought I could have sworn Tim specifically said the western portion of the property had a 2-foot setback.
Oh, the western half.
I'm sorry. Yeah, can I clarify, Commissioner?
Please.
Do you have a site plan? Yeah, I think. Mr. Sturr is showing it correctly. Essentially, when I was referring to the western half, I meant the western half of the development. It is actually the south property line facing the street.
I'm sorry. Feet. Okay, I misunderstood. Okay.
Setback from Irving.
2 feet from the street.
Okay. Thank you.
Property line, which is underside.
And we couldn't set it back any further because you're actually parking on the ramps, and it's to the point where we're at an angle now where we will have doors swinging open if we go any further than that.
I see.
I had one question. The pedestrian gate, is that activated by pedestrians, did I hear you say, Jeff?
That would be actually activated by cars. So they will pull up onto a level area, go over the speed bump, stop. The arm won't raise until after the car is in a stop position. That will go up, and then the car can proceed out. It'll have to cross over another speed bump as well. So we set up a series of kind of gate checks, so to speak.
Okay.
You can see it right here.
Yeah, no, I got a good picture of it. I just wanted to ask about the mechanics of it.
If I may, on the question of safety, we saw some in the front, some two poles that apparently illuminate when a car is coming out.
These bollards. The intent
bollards.
Here is that when a car approaches it, they'll be able to light up just with the subway.
And what about noise in the evening? Is there some audible sound as well?
We've placed those audible warnings inside the garage, right inside the pilasters in this area, to try to contain the noise inside the garage. There are certain criteria, and we're working with PDOT to have those be adjustable so at nighttime they might be able to come down in decibel a bit. When we've installed these on the Williams-Sonoma building just up the street, we worked with a vendor in that case and found the most pleasing but still detectable alarm in that area. This garage is intended also to shut down, I believe, at midnight at night. And at that point, we'd keep that sound inside the garage.
And that's adjustable, too. We have committed and we said to the mediation team from NWDA that we would adjust those levels, or if they preferred to do it differently, whatever they felt was necessary. We did not want to compromise pedestrian safety, though.
If I could also just address this to your attorney, is there any code about the hours of operation of a garage in this area?
There's no code limitation, no.
But Mr. Singer, your position is that you intend to shut this garage down at midnight?
Well, I'm not going to say exactly at midnight, 12, 1 o'clock, but we will have the ability for people that have residential monthly passes to have a remote control to get in and out at that time. And this is not just for businesses. There, as you will hear today, there are a ton of residents that want this as well.
So that's the first I've heard that. So you're going to offer it to residences in the area on a monthly basis?
Absolutely.
Further questions of the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Take down your poster. So now we will hear from opponents of the appeal or supporters of the applicant. And Sue, go ahead and call the first three.
Okay, we have 31 signed up. The first three will be Vic Wolf, Jeff Rangold, Terry Jane. That could be Jerry Jane. Terry, very good. The next will be Deborah Haynes, Kim Lane, and Virgil Oval.
Welcome. As I said earlier, we're the time limit is 2 minutes. We'll start with you on the right there, on my right, and please give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Terry Jane. I reside at 14800 Southwest Pleasant Valley Road, Beaverton, Oregon, 97007. I am here today to read testimony for my sister-in-law, Joanne Pemberton, who could not be here due to complications from surgery but wants her testimony read into record. It is as follows. I am often on Northwest Irving dropping off or picking up my niece at Fruit and Flower Child Care Center, which is just up the street from the proposed garage at Northwest 24th. Fruit and Flower has a small amount of parking at the center as well as a half-circle driveway for the pickup drop-off area. Even when it's busy with many cars coming and going, it has never been a problem crossing the sidewalk with my car. Everything operates safely. However, at the end of the day, there's typically no parking available at the center. I have to drive around the neighborhood in search of a place to park on the street. What you notice when you're circling the area in search of parking is that there are many other people like you who are circling the area looking for parking. Walking back to your car, you have to be doubly aware of those same drivers who may be more frustrated at that point and more focused on finding that rare parking place than they are focused on people crossing the street. In my opinion, having a small, well-designed parking garage available would help cut down on the circling and improve pedestrian safety, traffic congestion, and decrease auto exhaust. Knowing that there is a specific place I'm likely to get parking will also allow me to spend more time at the many wonderful local shops in the neighborhood. As for the visual aspects of this design, I am sensitive to design and protective of historic resources. For 6 years, I ran a bed and breakfast in my antebellum home in historic district outside of Birmingham, Alabama. The proposed Irving Street garage, as designed, is attractive and fits into this historic district in similar fashion as those in the Tobacco Road District in Richmond, Virginia, and those that once used to serve as parking structures in this neighborhood, such as the former garage at Northwest 21st and Everett that was converted into Stars Antique Mall. For these reasons, I strongly urge the council to support this small and safe garage and deny the appeal. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vic Wolf. I have a hair salon in Victoria.
Can you hold the microphone a little closer?
There, got it. Anyway, I'm Vic Wolf. I've got a hair salon on 23rd Avenue. I've been there for over 25 years now and seen the neighborhood change from being a little rough around the edges to a vibrant mix of small businesses and homes. I want to make sure my small business continues to thrive. It's incredibly competitive in the hair care world, and I'm trying to keep pace with that. For me, having more customer parking centrally located in the Northwest 23rd area is critical for the future of my business. Off-street parking has really tightened. I personally have had several parking spaces for my clients disappear with new development. Contrary to the appeal, I think the design for the parking structure absolutely fits the scale and style of the neighborhood and has been very sensitive to surrounding neighbors. It looks like two small storefronts with windows and details very fitting to the neighborhood. The appeal also claims the garage will be a magnet for crime, but the garage design reduces the likelihood of crime. It has windows or openings for 80% of the frontage, so people can easily see in and out. And the garage is right off of 23rd, providing many eyes on the street. The garage is well lit throughout, and there are no internal sheer walls, eliminating potential hiding places. Besides, most users of the garage, my clients, will be using it when street parking is not available, which is when shops are open, not after hours. I urge City Council to deny this appeal.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Reingold. I'm a property manager with IPM. Our offices are at 721 Southwest Oak. We own and manage a number of properties in the Northwest area. And I'm speaking to you, Mayor Potter, and to the council to urge your affirmation of the Landmarks Commission to approve the design for the garage as it has been amended through a very public and lengthy process. The process included numerous and very well-attended public hearings that led to very beneficial improvements and changes in the design of this garage, which, frankly, I think make it work perfectly for the neighborhood. By way of background, my involvement in this process began in 2000 as a participant in the Citizens Advisory Committee, and through that very public process, the CAC identified acceptable garage sites, of which this was one. As a participant in the CAC, I can say with certainty that no voice was unheard through that process. It was very lengthy and very thorough. It's now been 8 years since my first involvement in that process, and we are clearly at what should be the point where we are ending the process. There has to be a time wherein we make a final decision to move forward, and frankly, I think we are now at that point. The design is respectful of its surroundings. The design masterfully blends its function and attractiveness. It blends in very well with the neighborhood, and as a longtime owner and manager of property in that neighborhood, I've heard loud and clear from many of our several hundred tenants in the area that we need more parking. We need this parking. So it's time for you, with all due respect, to act in favor of this garage and city policy. Let's get this thing built. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Next three.
Deborah Haynes, Kim Lane, Virgil Oval. They'll be followed by Paula Bixel, Joshua Cohen, and Dennis Batke.
Welcome. Please give us your name. You each have 2 minutes, and we'll start with you.
Great. Thank you. Hi, I'm Deborah Haynes. I own Blush Beauty Bar, located at 513 Northwest 23rd and Gleason. So I am a small business owner. I own that. And I work a lot. I'm up there 6 days a week, so I see a lot. And I don't want to go on about the pedestrian safety and the cars circling, because you're going to hear probably a lot of that and just the issues that go around with that, not only pedestrian safety, but environmental issues. Cars circling, not a good thing. I wanted to address the parking. It seems like there's a lot of talk about the lots that are currently up there not being full. And I just wanted to state that there's a lot behind my store, which I have a pass to park there, and it's on a kind of a first-come, first-serve. So when the lots are full, I don't get to park there. And I just want you to know that that happens a little too often, actually, because I wear high heels a lot, and it takes a long walk to get to my store, and I'd rather park in the back, but the lot is full. trying to be funny a little bit, sorry. Okay, so most importantly, though, I'm going to read my notes so that I can really say what I want to say. So most importantly, I feel that the City Council needs to rise to the occasion and do the right thing. I've been here throughout watching the process of these garage hearings, reading the documents, testifying, and et cetera. And I understand that Singer Properties has operated in good faith. They have done everything that was asked of them and even more, as you guys have seen today. So most importantly, City Council needs to uphold their responsibilities as government officials. So I ask that you please deny this appeal.
Hi, my name is Kim Lane, and I also am a small business owner formerly in the neighborhood as well, and now I've moved my store. But I have been coming to Northwest 23rd for probably over 20 years myself, just not only as a business owner, but also as a visitor. And I just know that, you know, again, I don't want to go into the whole thing about circling, but everybody knows it's true. And I do think that off-street parking is really crucial to the area. I'm going to read some here because I wrote some things down that I wanted to say. I think that, you know, obviously with all the safety and compatibility issues have been thoroughly addressed and gone over endlessly here and many other times. But the reality is that historically there are less parking garages than ever before. There were many, many parking garages in this area that have been converted into other buildings and retail and such. And that more and more people are moving into the district and visitors, and you know, where are all these people going to park? I mean, where do the visitors park? If I want to go visit, I have a girlfriend who actually lives on, what street? Hoyt.
23rd and Hoyt.
23rd and Hoyt, thanks. She's right behind 23 Hoyt.
Yeah.
And anyway, I can't ever find a spot to go to park when I go to visitors. So it really just becomes a little bit of an issue. And then secondly, as a small business owner, off-street parking is crucial. I think when construction eliminated virtually all of my on-street parking near my store, it literally killed my revenue. And I know, Commissioner Adams, you're well aware of this because I even had written letters and contacted the City Council regarding this issue. And I had to move my store to the Pearl. And the reality is that as a small business owner, I can't rely on just the people in my neighborhood to support my business. So I really do urge that you deny this appeal and uphold the Landmark Commission approval.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sir?
My name is Virgil Oval. My address is 610 Southwest Alder Street. I've been working as a parking and transportation professional in Portland for 37 years. I've been a founding member and chair of a transportation management association and spent many years as chair of a Portland City Neighborhood Association. I'm familiar with this project and participated in the initial design charrette for this garage. I'm here today to oppose the appeal of the Irvin Street garage design. In my experience, it's rare to see a property owner go to such lengths and expense to build attractive, user-friendly parking on a small scale that is safe for pedestrians and vehicles, and also in such a neighborhood-friendly design. I believe the garage design to be sensitive to its surroundings, attractive, and safe. You don't normally find this level of detail and small scale together very often. Instead of building large monolithic garages, I favor small neighborhood-friendly garages that serve a localized and confined area, as this garage does. The Irvin Street garage is a very good example of that. Operationally, the way the garage is designed, the entry-exit lanes of the garage are designed well above the standards for other central city garages to be pedestrian safe. Many central city garages with several hundred parking stalls do not have this level of attention to pedestrian and driver safety. And this includes the visual alerts, safety striping, the entry-exit gates, as was explained, to control how cars exit the garage, the alert lighting and the entry bollards, the quiet, the adjustable audible warning signal, and the audible driver warning, the speed bump, and then even the texture on the pavement to really go way over and above to alert people to pay attention as they exit this garage. I know that great efforts were made to mitigate any negative impacts, and I believe this project provides a design that complements the surrounding area. Small garages are less intrusive and easily fit into the fabric of the neighborhood. I encourage you to deny the appeal.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next three.
Paula Bixel, Joshua Cohen, Dennis Botke. They'll be followed by Phil Geffner, Don Valbuster, and Walt McMoneys.
Welcome. You could give us your name, and then you each have 2 minutes, and we'll start on this side this time with you.
Okay. My name is Dennis Badke. I was born in Portland. I live in Northwest Portland. My office is in Northwest Portland. My first house that I own was on Johnson Street, just off 21st. That is a turn-of-the-century Victorian, which are restored by hand. The scale of this project really fits the Northwest Portland. I mean, most of the retail spaces on 23rd are much larger. As you turn the corner, they scale this thing down to a retail 50-foot-wide lot. They've got every detail, scale element you could possibly put on the facade. I don't think there's any room for any more scale. It's open. It has to look like a parking garage just for safety's sake, so you wouldn't be looking for a car to come out of a retail space. As far as the need for parking, all you have to do is walk up in the neighborhood and see that all these cars parked in front of people's houses. There's a tremendous need. I sat on the adjustment committee for 14 years, and I don't care how many times we've had people come in that want an adjustment for parking in their front yard, and I hate it. It looks terrible. The description sometimes people talk about of Northwest Portland as being, these Victorian houses with the awning and the balconies in front, they never talk about all these cars parked in front. The existing house is cars all the way back. As far as safety, they're all backing up into the sidewalk. They're much more dangerous. Just up the street, there's an open lot between two houses. It's filled with cars. So obviously, there's an incredible need for parking in the neighborhood. And so I hope you let this parking garage be built. I think it's a great asset to the neighborhood, and it's obviously needed.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Paula Bixel, and I own Gilt at 720 Northwest 23rd, a small jewelry boutique. I've had my business on 23rd for 10 years, and I just want to say that Lori and Richard Singer, in my experience, have been strong supporters of small businesses in Portland, and I believe the parking structure will be a much-needed improvement to the neighborhood. It will benefit not only those of us who own small businesses on 23rd and our customers, but also the people who live in the neighborhood by freeing up some on-street parking, maybe closer to their house. I can't imagine what it must be like to come home with groceries and not be able to get anywhere near your home. I hear on a daily basis the frustration of my customers over the parking situation and the time it takes them to find a space, even in the pay lots, honestly, because I always offer to reimburse my customers any amount that it costs them to park in a lot. In this economy, it would be nice to have fewer deterrents to getting my customers through the front door. We are a small business and cannot offer a parking solution to our customers at this time. It would be nice if we could offer it in the future. It'd be nice when my customers call me and ask me if there's a secret, if I could give them one. We do need all the help we can get to compete with big businesses right now, and I would like to see this parking lot because it would help keep our money local. I would like for them to be able to decide to come and see me when they only have a little bit of time and not go and park and give their money to a big business because they know they can park there. It would be nice if my customers could come to my store knowing that they would have some place to park. Thank you.
Thank you.
And hopefully they'll be driving a hybrid.
My name is Joshua Cohen. I live at 6406 North Burridge Avenue, but I did live at the corner of Northwest 20th and Irving between 2003 and 2007. And I've spoken in favor of the Northwest District Plan and this parking garage on several occasions. And I was very happy that each time there's a new and a better feature to see in the design. My profession is architectural illustration, so today I was very happy to see the interior rendering on display. That does a very good job of helping us visualize the safety features that are incorporated into this garage. It's got all the usual things, but most interesting to me and what makes this a unique garage is it's got the windows all the way along the front, and it's got that bike parking up front. That's my primary mode of transportation, so I expect I'll be able to utilize that. Hopefully it'll be free. But you know, free parking for cars is what makes it tough in this neighborhood. 95 to 100% on-street parking utilization all the time, except for three mornings a year for street cleaning. And I lived with that for 4 years, and it got tough to schlep the kid and all the stuff that, you know, for kids, the strollers, 2-3 blocks sometimes. So I like my new neighborhood, but I'd still like to see this problem solved. And I do know that adding a parking garage, off-street parking, as well as some on-street parking control will take a good step towards improving the parking situation in Northwest Portland. So I hope you'll oppose the appeal and provide some leadership toward getting that plan implemented.
Thank you. Next three.
Phil Geffner, Don Valboster, Walt McMoneys. They will be followed by Lamont Smith, Fabiana Priola, and Elise Goforth.
Welcome. You each give us your name, and you have 2 minutes, and we'll start again on this side.
Okay. Don Ballister, 711 Southwest Alder. I own a piece of property on 23rd on the corner of Johnson, the same block, 733. I've been looking for a tenant for the space. I deliberately stayed away from a restaurant use because of the parking issues and the location. And have found a retailer that will take the space with a little less impact on parking. But parking, I think, is pretty well established as a difficult situation in the area. In terms of Dick Singer's response, I think he's done a very responsible design. He's certainly been immensely patient going through this whole process. I think he's addressed all the safety issues that the neighborhood has brought up. He's done the setbacks, height, density, and materials. And in terms of other neighborhoods, I think there's somebody raised a specter that this could happen in other neighborhoods. Well, I would hope that it's as responsible a proposal as he's put forth for this location.
Thank you. Phil?
Hi, my name is Phil Geffner. I own Escape from New York Pizza, 25 years now, on 23rd. Well, 25 years I've been in business. I think the real discussion here is whether you want a parking lot there. That seems to be going to be the thing, not the design, because it looks pretty, and everybody kind of knows it looks pretty. Is it safe in that spot? You know, that's an issue, and there's a lot of work being done, but it was cited already with the city council over there. But the real question is whether people want a parking spot there, a parking lot there, and that's... And the guy next door, I mean, I could respect him. I mean, things should be done to help him, and things seem to be, I mean, discussion was open in helping him a lot, and I hope things come to a good resolution with that because that's an issue. The guy next door and the people, like, right on the street, that's an issue. Now, for everybody else that live in the neighborhood, like me, I live on Quimby, I think, you know, in an overall big picture of things where there's an urban growth boundary and you want a lot of infill, and then you have this business of conduization of the whole neighborhood, which nobody really talks about during this whole process, where you're getting like blocks and blocks of condos getting built and blocks of parking getting taken away for private parking. It's like, and these people have money. It's a moneyed kind of a group where they have one car, two car, three cars. Well, let all those people go. That takes public parking away. Then you get people with houses where it's really easy to make curb cuts. So that takes parking away. A lot of people that are against the garage go and have curb cuts in front of the house and they live right there. Well, that doesn't help the whole of the situation. Now, if you're dealing with a 20-year plan and you're having all this infill and you don't want urban sprawl, you want infill, so it's going to get even more denser over time. If you have a 20-year plan, well, something's got to give somewhere. Like if Yogi Berra was here, he'd go, the only way to make more parking is to make more parking. I mean, like, you know, there's nothing... There's nowhere for people to park. Now, at the end of the day, you know, I just want to just, since I've been doing this since I was a little kid, now an old guy, I just like to say one more thing, which is like, where's the outrage with all these neighbors? And I'm a neighbor, and I'm a business owner, and I don't think one is different than the other. It's all like one neighborhood. It's not one against the other. I don't even like how this is set up, the pros and the cons. I'd like to be sitting next to someone and having a discussion. But
Phil, your time's up.
Can I just say, like, where's the outrage with people getting kicked out of their apartments? 80-something% apartment people in here, and they're getting kicked out of their apartments for condos. There's no outrage with that. Where's the outrage with Westport Villa? 40 people get kicked out of their place. Okay. They have nowhere to go. That's what I'd be outraged with living here, and I'm outraged with it. But they're outraged about this parking lot. I think there's things that are further to be outraged a little more about.
Right. Thank you. Walt.
Hi, Walt Limones. My business address is 601 Southwest 2nd Avenue, and I live in the Hillsdale neighborhood. I have lived a couple of times in Northwest in a couple of apartment buildings, which I own. I guess I'm coming here with a couple of hats. I'm an apartment owner. I own 144 units in Northwest. There are plenty of people here who own a lot more units than that, but so I've got a significant stake in residential housing in Northwest Portland. I've also renovated 7 historic buildings, including a historic garage, most of which were in Northwest Portland. First, on the point of, I've submitted written testimony, which hopefully you guys have got. I'm not a historian, nor am I anywhere near as competent as Kathy Galbraith to speak on the history of Portland, but I have individually researched the situation of Julia Hoffman, and I've read the corporate history of Hoffman Construction by Stephen Dow Beck. I'm a historian at Lewis and Clark College, who's renowned as one of the best historians on Oregon history. And I've read the family history of Julia Hoffman. There's a book that was put out with her, the Julia E. Hoffman Family Album, which was published in 1977, which Marguerite Hoffman Smith was sort of the consultant. She was the family member who consulted on this. None of those books mention this house in any way whatsoever. They also make it very clear that Julia never lived there. This is ratified by the Polk directories. So, I mean, there's a lot of misinformation floating around. This is a rental house that was owned by a very rich lady who built 705 Davis as her own personal apartment building, and which is, as you may know, one of those beautiful apartment buildings that was ever built in Portland. She was not living in this snumpy little house behind what is now Papa Hyden's. She for a while lived in a house that was on the Papa Hyden's site, but she never lived in this house. She may have owned it as a rental house, and her company was called Wanna Land Company, and that's who owned it at one point. Second point is I'm kind of a garage. I'm kind of the Ray Polanyi of garages. I'm excited about historic garages. I think they've been mistreated. And in this neighborhood, I've got a little slideshow of the 9 or 10 historic garages in the neighborhood that are really beautiful, and I'm insulted that people don't think garages are a part of the historic fabric of Northwest Portland. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thanks. Next three.
Lamont Smith, Fabiana Priola, Alice Goforth. They'll be followed by Noah Lichtenhart, Lawanda Shad, and Debbie Thomas.
Welcome. We'll start over here. Give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Hello, my name is Elise Goforth. I live at 506 Northeast Bridgeton. I am a partner in a project management firm in which I supervise commercial and residential construction. I have an 18-year history with 23rd Avenue. I moved to Northwest Paddy Grove after acquiring a degree in interior architecture in 1990. I worked at Papa Hyden's and lived on Paddy Grove for 5 years. Since then, for the last 13 years, in my project management company, I do a considerable amount of my work on 23rd Avenue. Numerous restaurant and retail clients, including, I'm going to date myself here, Machismo Mouse, Pizzicato, Coffee People, Elizabeth Street, Succi's, Bellini's, Zelda's Shoe Bar, Papa Hyden's, Joe Bar, and many others. I would like to comment today on the Singer family support of my small business clients, my experience with parking on 23rd Avenue, and give my comment on the new design of the parking structure. So in response to the idea that the building of the garage is a move from supporting small business to perhaps trying to attract more big box businesses, I'd like to let you know about my experience with the Singer family supporting small businesses on 23rd Avenue. Most of my clients on 23rd began their businesses because of the support and nurturing, and in some instances, even courting from Dick Singer. My clients, and consequently my business, also a small business, has flourished in part due to Dick's ongoing stewardship of local small businesses. Dick will often, in order to further the ability of a business to thrive,
He'll take a small business that perhaps has a less than desirable location, perhaps below grade. I can think of Mimi and Lena's, where he then took the steps to move that business.